Some of my priest colleagues are known as the Advent Police. They want to see Advent as a season completely separate from Christmas. There shouldn't even be hints of Christmas peeking into Advent. Part of me hopes that those Advent Police people don't show up here at St. James. For those Advent Police, Christmas decorations, like trees and wreaths, and especially our beautiful manger scene, should only sort of magically appear before midnight mass on Christmas Eve. And I have to admit that I kind of bordered on being an Advent Police person because before my first Advent here as your priest. Because really, there can be something truly beautiful and almost magical about the sudden change in how our church looks between the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve. In some churches, the process of making the church look Christmassy has its own name. It's called the greening of the church. Here at St. James, though, it's more of a gradual change, a progression of changes in church decorations. Our church is sort of gradually greened. One week we see the banners hung up, one week we see the tree up, one week sees the bows on the pews, I think that's happening next week. And finally, just in time for Christmas Eve, the tree is decorated and the Christ child figure is moved from Carrie's mailbox in the parish hall and gently placed up in the manger. So how did I change my tune? How did I stop being a member of the Advent Police? Well, part of it was because I like my job a lot and I didn't want to mess with any long-standing traditions. Now, I don't know who began this gradually greening of the church, but I'm not about to change it now. But I also came to see some theological sense in gradually greening the church. It all has to do with time. I don't know if anyone else notices this, but time does funny things in Advent. In the secular world, in the world outside the walls of our church, we somehow go from Halloween to Christmas, right? We skip over Thanksgiving entirely. And in the church, we do some skipping around also. Last week, which was the first Sunday of Advent, we heard about the end of the world. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we skip from the end of the world all the way back to the beginning of the gospel. Because that's where we start in today's gospel lesson. We hear the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are, in the span of 1 week, transported from the end of the world to the beginning of the gospel. Mark, the evangelist we hear today, has no time to wait. He has no time to tell stories about mangers and angels. He has no time for babies. Instead, he jumps right into the story. Like I said, time does funny things during Advent. We go skipping around from the end of time to the beginning of time. Then, in the person of John the Baptist, we skip around a bit more, going back to the time of the Old Testament. John the Baptizer reminds us of the prophets who have called the people to repentance since the beginning of God's relationship with the chosen people. In his own time, John the Baptizer also calls people to repentance and a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. But John the Baptizer is not entirely like the prophets of the Old Testament because he also points forward. Like I said, time does funny things in Advent. John the Baptizer knows that his ministry, his special call to repentance, is not for his own sake. Instead, he knows that his ministry looks forward to the coming ministry of the Savior, Jesus Christ. The ministry of John the Baptist shows us that time does funny things in Advent. John the Baptizer understands that his ministry as a prophet comes in some sense at the end of an old sort of time and the beginning of a new sort of time. His ministry points forward to one who is more powerful than he. The one who is to come after John the Baptist will not just baptize with water, but the one who is to come will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And we know that the one who is to come after John the Baptizer is Jesus. Time continues to do funny things in the second reading from 2 Peter. In it, Peter is addressing the concerns of a community that is no longer certain that God is even present in the world. The community is beginning to doubt that God answers prayers, but Peter's words assure the community gathered that time even does funny things for God. Peter tells the community that for God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years to God are like one day. The community shouldn't worry then that their prayers do not seem to be answered in what we would probably call a timely manner. None of this waiting around. That's not what they want to do. They want the answer straight away. Peter says, to answer that concern, Peter says that God is not slow about promises, as some think of slowness. On earth, it may seem that time is stretching on and on. But for God, too, time does funny things. Peter assures his audience, a community that doubts God's goodness. Peter assures them that God is, in fact, being patient with us, not wanting any of us to perish, but all of us to come to repentance. Even when it seems like God is far away, God is still waiting for us. God waits for us in a time that doesn't always make sense, in a way that doesn't always make sense. All right, so if I'm honest, I'll admit that I didn't really put all of this theological reflection into not becoming an Advent police person. I didn't really think this much about the gradual greening of our church. Instead, I just enjoy the ride through this season, enjoying the many reminders of how time does do funny things in Advent. That we at one time think about the beginning of the gospel and the end of the world, how time does funny things for God, and I invite you to take this ride with me and marvel in the ways that time moves in this season. Amen.